Yes, indeed. We sorry for that interruption. Will indeed start the tribute to Sir Everton Weeks, a wonderful man, a great member of the West Indies Cricket Fraternity, one of the three W's. Here is where Dr. Ralph Gunsall, so here is what Dr. Gunsall had to say about the great man.
Dr. Gonzalez, good evening to you.
Normally I will say Andrew the Great, but on an occasion like this, I have to leave that expression for Sir Everton.
Indeed, that is absolutely fine. What a loss, what a loss.
Oh, he's a splendid example of the best in our Caribbean civilization. We know of his cricket, we know the scores, we know his 5 centuries, his controversial run out in Madras when it would have been a 6 when he was a 90. And we know his average. We know the Orleans from which he came, and we know the 3 W's. We know his extraordinary career as a test cricketer for 10 years. And we know all of these things. And he's one of the titans of batsmanship and cricket in the post-war period. We know that he is an exemplar as a human being, a gentleman. So Everton possessed a fine mind, a fine analytic mind. And those who have done extremely well at anything, including cricket or any sport, there is that mind, the sharpness of the mind, the analyzing the circumstances. You know, it's like in the Book of Chronicles, one of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, Issachar, I-S-S-A-C-H-A-R, what they said of him is that he knew the times and he acted accordingly. When he was playing, he acted accordingly, analyzed what was happening, used his God-given talents, owned them from humble beginnings. But you know, I would remember him as perhaps the best between overs commentator in Test cricket. Andrew, you would remember when he spoke things in simple, clear language. He saw far more than normal human beings could see at the game. And you listened to him, it was a joy as great as watching the cricket itself. He would bring history and science, art and technical knowledge with a Barbadian earthiness, always grounded in our Caribbean civilization. We are not going to see another like him for another generation or two. They come once in a blue moon. We had 3 of them, the 3 W's, born within a small radius of each other. I understand that perhaps the same midwife delivered Frank Worrell, Clyde Walcott, and the Everton. A small country, small island, Barbados, to produce such extraordinary talent. You can't conjure this up in fiction, but it's the reality. I met him after he had retired. Clearly, I was a boy when he stopped playing cricket. I was 12 years old when he stopped playing test cricket. And we didn't have a radio in my village for me to listen to him. To listen to him about him being about him playing. But of course I heard commentaries on his batting when he played for Barbados up to 1964. Because we got radio in our village two radios in 1959. It's very difficult for the young people to know these things these days, you know, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, indeed.
I didn't listen to radio until I was 13 years old. What a thing, eh?
What a thing.
You had to just get scraps of news from the newspapers and relayed to you by persons from the waterfront. And you'll hear the elders speak. That's how you learned about Everton Weeks. And then, of course, I read voraciously about him and his autobiography told to Sir Hilary Beccles. It's a beautiful piece of work. On behalf of the government and people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, on my own personal behalf, I extend sincerest condolences to the family and friends, Sir Everton, the people of Barbados, the Caribbean, and cricket lovers the world over. We have lost the Titan. He has gone to meet the other greats in Valhalla. May he rest in peace.
Thank you very much indeed, Prime Minister. We just heard from the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, the Right Honourable Dr. Ralph Gonzalez. Thank you very much indeed for your tribute. Go to the land of wood and water, one of my favorite countries, and talk to the Minister of Sports, the Honourable Babsy Grange. She is up and she has her tribute. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, yes. Can you hear me okay?
We are hearing you loud and clear.
Okay, very good. Good evening, Khalid. West Indies, and in fact, the entire cricketing world is regretting the passing today of one of the greatest opponents of the game. Everton, De Courcy Weeks. This cricketing hero has left us at age 95, almost scoring the century of life to add to the several that he scored in his illustrious cricket career. Everton was born into humble circumstances in his native Barbados, rose to take his place among the finest batsmen ever to play the game. Starting his test cricket career at the same time as Frank Worrell and Clyde Walker, two other great West Indies greats, it was not surprising that they were dubbed the three W's and that there would be a three W's over named in their honor. Weeks with Worrell and Walker have been the greatest trio of cricketers to play for the West Indies in the same side. It would have been hard to conceive that a batsman could score five test centuries in consecutive innings. But Everton Weeks did so in his first series against India, setting a record that still stands. 7.5 centuries in consecutive test matches was also another record of his. Throughout his career, Sir Everton notched up 15 test centuries, but was no slouch in the field either, as he was regarded as one of the best slip fielders in the world. Having gone on to be a successful coach, only demonstrated his total commitment to the game of cricket. As we all know, Sir Everton received a plethora of awards, including the OBE and the Barbados Gold Crown of Merit, culminating with his being knighted. Without any doubt, he played a magnificent innings, not only for his native Barbados, but for the entire Caribbean and indeed the game of cricket. As Minister of Culture, Gender, Entertainment and Sport, representing Jamaica here this evening, we join with Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean in celebrating the life of this giant of a sportsman. May his soul rest in peace. light perpetually shine. Let's cherish the memory. Let's cherish all the great things we know about him. And let's continue to celebrate his life and his legacy. Thank you.
Thank you too as well, Minister, and enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm sure here in Barbados and by extension in the Caribbean and throughout the world, we thank you for your wonderful tribute.
Here is Andrew Mason introducing the ambassador from Washington, D.C. of Barbados, Noel Lynch.
Noel Lynch, your tribute to the great man, Sir Everton Weeks.
I hope you can hear me. Good evening to all your guests.
Loud and clear.
I feel extremely honored that I've been afforded this opportunity to say a little about Sir Everton Weeks. The news of Sir Everton's passing has been received with great sadness here in Washington, D.C., particularly amongst the core of ambassadors and the Barbadians that make up the Barbados Association of Washington, D.C. The few Barbadians with whom I've had the opportunity to speak and to communicate, many of whom would never have seen or known Sir Everton, knew of and celebrated his greatness, even though they come from a younger set that would never have seen or even seen him on the field of play. The core of ambassadors here, the caucus of ambassadors, the CARICOM ambassadors, who are of a particular vintage, as you can imagine, are all very saddened by his passing. One ambassador in particular, the dean of our core, simply stated, "What a huge loss for our Caribbean civilization. He was a great man." That is how he summed it up. My own recollection of Sir Everton, whom I never saw on the field of play, are also of a great and humble man. And I will give you an anecdote near the end about one of the engagements I had with him. But just let me say the humility that this man displayed was beyond measure. The highway of humility as it relates to great athletes, or even here in Washington in the political sphere, is not very heavily trafficked. And therefore, to be in the presence of such a great man with such humility goes beyond everything that we can imagine. So Everton stands out for his exploits on the field of cricket. However, his acts inspired a generation of Barbadians and West Indians, coming at a time when black people globally were struggling for recognition. I've always thought that Sir Everton's feats, when I heard of the records that he set on the field, apart from the 58 average and the five centuries, I always thought that his exploits paralleled those of Jesse Owens in the 1936 Berlin Olympics, because he really set the world on fire as it relates to black people. His overall style, his class were exemplary in every way. And it's interesting how we are reminded of Sir Everton's exploits and what he did for black people at the time and black West Indians at the time when he was doing all he did on the cricket. How they're really connected with a struggle that is even going on even today for black people in America. I think it's an outstanding contribution to placing black people at another level, black, brown, and brown people at another level that they would never have had the opportunity to place. I'll say one more thing. During my time as the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer of the Barbados Cricket Association, one day Sir Everton came into our offices. And whilst there, he sat and he always conversed about cricket, mostly he talked about cricket. But he looked so young, so able, so well put together, even at the age when he just approached 90. And I asked him, you know, Sir Everton, what do you attribute this longevity to? And he said, "Lynch, I have never met a human being that I have not loved." He said, "I've never met a human being that I have not loved." And I think that said it all for me in terms of how this man approached life, how he approached other human beings, and what he wanted other human beings to get out of life. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I really do thank you for being given this opportunity to speak about this great man. And I really want, on behalf of the Corps of Ambassadors here in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and on my own behalf, on my family, to really extend condolences to Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean. We have lost an icon. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. So, Ambassador.
And Rathbone QC will make his presentation, paying his last respect to the great Sir Everton Weeks.
Let's go and talk to Rathbone QC, of course, MP. He's got a very special tribute. Good evening to you, Ralph.
Good evening to you, Andrew, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I consider this quite an honor that you've conferred upon me to pay tribute to a great man. And in paying tribute to Sir Everton, on the words of another great West Indian, a great West Indian historian, and indeed a historian of West Indies cricket, and I want to quote him. He said, that is the L.R. James. If life were not so urgent, I would be willing to spend a year talking to a great batsman, asking him questions and probing into all sorts of aspects of his life on and off the cricket field. If he and I hit it off, the result could be a book such as had never been yet written, which psychologists, anthropologists and psychologists would read more eagerly than cricketers. Such an investigation of worlds would tell us as much about the past and future of the people of the West Indies as it would about cricket. But it will not be done. Late and soon, the world is too much with us. And those were the words of C.L.R. James. But he did not wait on C.L.R., that is, Sir Everton did not wait on C.L.R. James. He himself wrote in his autobiography, he had emerged from the poor of Bridgetown. And indeed, he exceeded C.L.R. James's audience of physiologists, anthropologists, and psychologists. And his audience now included sociologists and political scientists. He did not forget, and he has left a permanent record in which he honestly told us who he was and is. The book, Thundercraft, written by Sir Everton, assisted by Sir Hilary Beckles, he said in his tribute, and he opens with a tribute to his mother, and that is significant. And the words she uttered when she came to see him on a rare occasion at a test match at Kensington, I quote, Sir Everton quotes his mother as having said, little Evie didn't turn out too bad. To Miss Leonora Lee, he was little Evie. To us, to the world, he became and was a giant of a cricketer, a giant of a man, and a gentleman. Cricket had clothed its participants with the title gentleman and determined that you could not describe yourself as a cricketer unless cricket could also describe you as a gentleman. Under his dear mother's guidance, our hero would have been aware of the social origins of that title and its association with social nobility. Little Evie must have therefore clothed himself literally in a manner that reflected dignity and also endowed his character with the values that reflected honesty, integrity, and decency. Or was this not the advice given to every boy at that time by a mother in those days to avoid disgrace and to go with grace? Let us again quote the words of Sir Everton himself in his autobiography, and I quote, it was important to me that I was clear on these matters, because when I walked out the bat to face the uncertainty of the situation before me, I needed to be clear on one thing, that no one out there was superior to me in terms of my self-esteem and self-worth. It had nothing to do with conceit or arrogance. I was encountering men around the world who had greater wealth, more extensive education, and the confidence bred of elite upbringing. But in the scholar cricket field, my state of mind neutralized all those advantages and enable me to perform as an equal. And that was within the field of cricket. On the other side of the boundary, here is Sir Everton again in his autobiography, and he writes, and I quote, "A test cricket mentality is made up of a special blend of attitudes and aptitudes. More often than not, these are forged in childhood, and sometimes they are discernible to believe in your ability, physical, intellectual, and spiritual. The odds of your survival at the crease are not in your favor, and so you need some kind of belief system. Faith, if you will, because some strange things can happen, and you need to come up with an acceptable explanation. My childhood was rooted in Christian values, and I was socialized as a boy scout to practice them every day in life. It felt at an early age that comprehending all facets of life was beyond one's abilities. I therefore embraced God in order to make sense of the little part of it I had to deal with. Later, I realized as a test player that sometimes you needed a little help from above. One day you would feel that things were working out pretty good, and you would give a nod of acknowledgement. Sometimes the pickings were slim, and you would ask the question. I do not believe it important to place yourself in the wider scheme of things and understand you are but a small part of a divine order. Clarity of mind allows you to make decisions that show restraint, discipline, and respect. I learned these things at home, in the cup, in school, and in the church. I took them with me like gear onto the cricket field, and I believe they served me well. It was no easy matter being out there in the middle for 10 years, performing at the top of the international game. My mental makeup was as vital to success as any technical skill that I learned in the net." Those were the words of Sir Everton Weeks in his autobiography. I want to say further that when the purists determined that cricket was a gentleman's game, they must have created a mold of definition into which our senior statesmen fit perfectly. At our age, many of us cannot claim truthfully to have seen him play. But beyond the boundary, we have seen a life lived with nothing except the ultimate expression in dignity. Those who saw him as a cricketer, they saw dignity. They saw gentleness. The tragic dimension of sports is that it's thrown adrift after retirement. And there is that tragic dimension that many famous sportsmen, after they retire, do not adjust to a life beyond retirement without the trappings of fame. And they do sometimes go adrift. But it is a depth of character that preserves the self-esteem and the social esteem of sportsmen who have left the game. Sir Everton never confronted any such personal crisis upon retirement. He took the best tradition of Barbadian values to the game of cricket and left with those values intact by fame. We could not begin to speak of him unless we refer to his sharp wit, and we would not complete a tribute unless we recall his love for language. He dressed himself with immaculate care, and he dressed his speech with exquisite language. The beauty of his style reflected the depth of his substance on both sides of the boundary. I do not regard his career for its marvel of outstanding statistics. He is a lot more than that. I regard his life for being of the finest example to bequeath to young cricketers and to young men of this region. It is one of life's fair bargains that cricket gave to Everton de Courcy Weeks, his fame, and in turn, he gave the cricket its dignity. I thank you.
All right. Thanks very much indeed, Ralph Thorne, MP, and of course, QC, for your wonderful tribute.
And next up, we go to Jamaica, where we talk to the former West Indies wicketkeeper, Jackie Hendricks.
Let's go to a titan as well and speak to Jackie Hendricks. who, of course, would have known Sir Everton very well. Good evening to you, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. How are you, man?
Right. What a loss. We've lost the great man today, Sir Everton, the course he leads.
Yes, it's a very, very sad day, certainly as far as I'm concerned. I was one of the great admirers of Sir Everton, and fortunately I got to know him pretty well later on in life. And I have always, with a lot of criticism, I have always felt that my two men who I have seen were Sir Gary Sobers and Sir Everton Weeks. Those are my two top batsmen for the West Indies of all the time that I have seen any cricket. And so, you know, it's a particularly sad departure for me because, as I said, not only as a batsman, but also as someone who I have had a lot to do with. We sat on the West Indies Cricket Committee, I think in the early 2000s, I think it was. And, you know, we shared a lot of memories. And I can remember asking him once. He played a magnificent innings against Jamaica in, I think, about 62 or 63, somewhere in that vicinity. And I was talking to him the other day, and I was saying, Sir Everton, do you remember that innings you played against us at Kensington? And Everton's reply was, I don't know, I only remember somebody behind me saying, great shot, Everton. And so I think that that is quite true, actually. I was a great admirer, I must tell you. And, you know, I saw him in the first of his five consecutive centuries in Jamaica in 1948. I skipped school to come down to Sabina Park, and I saw Sir Everton get his 141. But I must tell you that in Jamaica, the big choice was that we wanted J.K. Holt to play. But Everton was selected. He did not arrive at the ground until after lunch, having had a late call-up, I think, from Barbados. And the crowd gave him a round booing because, of course, J.K. Holt was our man. And I did say to Everton, some years back, I said, you know, Sir Everton, I must admit, I was one of those people in the crowd that booed because J.K. Holt was our man. Mm. And he laughed and he said, well, I hope you've changed your mind.
Wonderful memories there of the great man, Sir Everton de Courcy Weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a very sad day. And having lost Seymour not too long ago,
yes.
You know, it just really is. It comes home to you. It really does. And I wish his family and friends and all the people in Barbados, I condole with them. He was a great man.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. Jackie Hendricks, the former West Indies keeper, giving a tribute to Sir Everton Weeks.
But there you have it, a tribute to the great late Sir Everton de Courcy Weeks, the stalwart by his own right. One of the three W's, one who has scored some 4,455 runs and an average of 58.61. And one of his great tributes is his ability to keep the ball on the ground during those 4,455 runs. He scored only 260s were recorded among them, and he is the only cricketer in Test cricket to have scored five consecutive centuries. We're going to miss him. We're going to miss his smiles. We're going to miss his knowledge of the game. But at some time, somewhere along the road, we'll have to go to be with our maker. I'm sure we will meet again. Rest in peace, my brother. You rise in glory. Good night.